Hello again, Cherokee County. This is Lynn Saunders, your host on Cherokee Conversations, and you are listening to mygraceradio.com, or if you're in your car, you are listening to 102.9 FM. So again, I say this every week, and if you're tired of hearing it, I'm sorry, I'll get a new spiel next time. But I have a very special guest that I'm excited to present to you today, to introduce to you today. Many of you already know this precious lady. Her name is Dr. Jennifer Scrivener, and she is known as Dr. J in Cherokee County, the school district. She's been a principal, and she's been a district officer director. And she just is well known and very much beloved by so many people in the county. And welcome, Jennifer. Welcome to our show today.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me today.
So the purpose, Jennifer, is that you, to me, seem to be that expert in all things Jewish. And I've taught Jewish history. I dig it out. I Bible study it. When I run across somebody who like is so refreshing and so much deeper knowledge than I could ever figure out, I was just drawn to you. And for our listeners to know, we actually first met in May of this year at the National Day of Prayer in May in the Canton gazebo, and we've got a common friend, Karen Fegley, who's introduced us through this. And I remember hearing you pray, and I was like, who is this woman? And she introduced you as CCSD, as the Cherokee County School District. And I'm thinking, how do I not know her? So I'm so excited. Our paths have since crossed through the Fegley Shabbat services, and I'm just so excited to get to know you better, pick your brain, and I hope that our listeners are equally as excited to get to know you and to just dig in. So, listeners, we are going to be talking today about Rosh Hashanah. And you go, oh, that's a Jewish feast. It is a feast for all of us believers. And so, if you haven't already, now, if you're in your car, I know you can't pull over and get a piece of paper and a pen out, but if you are home or in a place where you can do that, just run. Just take 20 seconds. Go get a piece of paper and a pen. You are surely going to want to take notes on this. So I hope I haven't embarrassed you too much, Jennifer. With that introduction, would you just maybe warm up a little bit with our listeners? Because this is a Christian station. They're going Christian, Jewish. Some people get it that we're grafted in, and other people are like, oh no, that's a different religion. Can you kind of open up that oyster for us and help us all to understand the beauty of the Jewish history and roots that the Christians have?
Absolutely. I'm delighted to do that. And thanks again for having me. So, a great passion of mine, I come from a Jewish background and have been a Torah teacher for many, many years. Beth HaShomer, House of the Watchman, has a great outreach of teaching the Torah. I have a classroom in my basement and I have been doing this for years and it's been an incredible enjoyment to me. I have a real goal of helping Christians understand the richness of the root of Christianity and Judaism, and to understand the Torah at new levels. I have a passion for restoring that lost connection between ancient Jewish wisdom, really, and deep spiritual truths of the Bible. My mother was very active as an intercessory prayer person who helped very much with National Day of Prayer. She helped found the Capitol Hill Prayer Partners and some things like that in Washington, D.C., and I lived there for many years. And so I was really brought up under the tutelage of prayer from a Jewish perspective by my mom for many, many years. And she was a minister for 40 plus years. I was blessed to have that background.
Yes, you really are.
And I love when people have those aha moments that deepen their faith and they realize the Jewishness of Jesus, the Messiah, and it inspires them to grow closer to God. I love that. I
Yes,
love the ahas.
I do too. I do. And I love my own ahas. And I love when I see it in other people. So I know what you're talking about. So let's start the aha of what is Rosh Hashanah?
Well, Rosh Hashanah is just Roshanah, head of the year, is kind of a simple understanding about it. But it's really known from a biblical perspective as Yom Teruah, the day of blowing, Yom Teruah.
I've not
And
heard of that word before, Teruah.
Teruah, to blow the shofar. When you When you hear about a trumpet in the Bible, more than likely it is talking about a shofar.
Okay.
And it acts as a sort of a spiritual alarm clock. As the great prophet Amos said, awake, awake, you sleepers of slumber. It is designed to wake us up to the King of Kings, the creator of the universe. Rosh Hashanah in Judaism is the birthday of the world. In the liturgy, when Matzor, when you would read in a synagogue, you would celebrate the creation of the world and the birth of humanity with Adam and Eve being created on Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
Yes. In fact, that is right. And second, a major theme of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, is the kingship of God. Because of what I've just shared, it's like the birthday of the world of creation. So recognizing God, as Psalm 47 says, God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a shofar, right? Sing praises to our King, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. That's a major theme of Rosh Hashanah.
Okay. Now you've mentioned a shofar. For people who don't know what a shofar is, what is that? I mean, well, let's just talk real basic concepts for people who are just not familiar at all.
Well, sure. A shofar is a ram's horn.
Okay.
So it is a literal ram's horn that has been carved out with a mouthpiece made in the horn, and you blow it and it emits this vibration sound that really is very, very unique. Maybe if we have time at the end of the show, I'll be able to blow
Let's
it for
do
you.
that.
So
Yeah.
the people of Cherokee County can hear one and recognize it. You can buy them on the internet from Israel, from anywhere. Yeah, and they're used in the Rosh Hashanah service, 100 blasts of the shofar in the Rosh Hashanah service in a synagogue.
Wow. I think we could probably do a whole show on just a shofar. I've picked up pieces. I was in Israel 2020. That'll tell you how long that's been. And we brought one of those shofars back to the States for one of my sister-in-laws. Ever since then, I was like, man, I wish I had brought one for myself. But back then we didn't have a whole lot of money, and that was the one thing that I knew would bless her. She's very much involved in ministry as well. And so, but yeah, so I see these long, beautiful horns, and I always go back to that. But thank you. Yeah, we will try. In all fairness, if that shofar exceeds the audio bandwidth of what we're doing, we might have to edit it out because it's going to be very loud compared to the volume of our voices. So, if and two, if we can't get it to really move forward to the final cut of this, we'll just invite people to an opportunity, maybe at the National Day of Prayer in May, if we do it again, to come and hear it in real life if they've never had that opportunity. So that's awesome. So Rosh Hashanah, now people also call that the head of the year, Rosh being head and Hana, or you're pronouncing it a little bit different than I think my English version is. What is that? Because it's the seventh month of the Jewish calendar, not the first month. And we kind of think of it as a new year, January 1st, but can you give a little bit of light to that?
Sure. In Judaism, you have basically two calendars that are running in the Bible at the same time, connected to Exodus 12, right? So after the Jewish people crossed the Red Sea, great miracle of the parting of the Red Sea, Moses started a sacred or a holy calendar, which is this one. There's a civil calendar in Judaism that runs, and at the same time, a sacred calendar. Think like for us, we have a fiscal calendar in the United States of when we pay our taxes, right? And then we have when the tax year starts. And then we have another calendar that we have that's our civil calendar that we run from January 1st to through. The Bible's the same way. It has two calendars, one civil and one sacred. And that's the way it works.
Okay, so the themes, because now we've got a few fall festivals, and this is the first one on the Jewish calendar. So, what are the other ones, ever so briefly, but what is the theme of Rosh Hashanah to get it kicked off?
Well, it has several things. One of the biggest things is it's known as a remembrance. This day of blowing is meant to be a remembrance. And so remembering, because a shofar was blown at Mount Sinai with the covenant, okay, and the Ten Commandments. And so it's a remembrance. And then again, it's about the kingship of God. That's a major, major theme of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah. And also, it is about when you blow a shofar. It's a sign of God's mercy and his forgiveness back to us. And it signifies God's mercy and his judgment. Rosh Hashanah actually has many meanings, many names. Yom HaDin and judgment is another one of the main themes of this holiday. It's a glimpse into the day of judgment, you know. You'll remember that in the book of Matthew says, you know, that the Messiah will send forth his angels with a great trump, and the elect of God, you know, will be drawn together. That's the day of judgment, Yom HaDin. That will occur on Rosh Hashanah. It's a rehearsal. It's a mikra. The feast, the fall feasts are a mikra. They're rehearsals or mikras to teach us God's redemptive plan. Isn't that awesome? We want to know God's redemptive plan, and we get the opportunity to rehearse it every year with the
Oh
fall
gosh.
feast.
Okay, so it's a one-day feast, or sometimes they have more than one day. Tell me more about the logistics of what a Rosh Hashanah celebration, is that the right word, or an
Sure, it is a,
observance?
that's right. It's a feast and a holiday. It's celebrated for 2 days here in the United States. In Israel, it's 1 day holiday. In the United States, it's two. We're in Diaspora. We're outside of the nation of Israel. And so it's a 2 day holiday here in the United States. And it's a wonderful time. Most Jewish people, just like many Christians, go to church on Easter Sunday. They go to the synagogue on Rosh Hashanah, and there is a wonderful meal, and with a lot of traditional foods that are served and shared on that day. But it's a reflective day, a day to reflect on our own walk and to repent before the Lord. When you hear that shofar sound, you have the opportunity to search your heart and draw yourself closer to God. And we do that, both Jews and Christians believe we do that through repentance. That's what both faiths believe. And a place where we can really come together as Jews and Christians is in the area of repentance. And it's very, very much focused on the kingship of God and examining yourself before the Lord, preparing for Yom Kippur that will come 10 days later. There's a wonderful tradition that many Christians probably don't know about that I think they would find very interesting. It's called Tashlich. It's where you go and in the afternoon on Rosh Hashanah, and you cast your bread upon the water.
Oh, like feeding the ducks.
Yes, in a way, it's this idea from Micah 7 that you cast your sins into the depths of the sea, that the Lord casts your sins into the depths of the sea. It's a vivid picture, a rehearsal of walking that release of sin and guilt before the Lord out. When you go to a water or the ocean or a river and you cast your bread out at, like your sins upon the sea, we know from the Word of God that He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west, as the prophets say. And it's just a wonderful communal way in which the Jewish people practice the biblical promises of God for forgiveness, because we know that God's forgiveness is not partial, it's complete.
Oh, that is a sermon title. I'm going to write that down, actually. God's forgiveness. Say that again.
God's forgiveness, it's not partial, it's complete. It's Tashlich is a way, a communal way for the Jewish people to demonstrate for all people. God's feasts are not the Jewish feasts. When you read about it in Leviticus 23, it says the feast of the Lord. So for it's for all of the Lord's people, not just for the Jewish people.
But for us, for Christians
But
too.
for us, it's for the people of God. It says the Lord's feast. We're all invited to the Lord's table.
Well, you know, for me, I was pretty much raised New Testament, New Testament, New Testament, New Testament, with the common theme and understanding of the Old Testament's the Jewish book and it's old, and we got Jesus, so we don't need to look backwards. And wow, what a misrepresentation, I think now. Yes, you can appreciate the New Testament without the Old Testament, but when you read and digest the things of the Old Testament, everything, it's like looking through glasses where you might have sunglasses on, In the New Testament, you see things, but boy, you put regular glasses on without a tint or a shadow, and everything is brighter. The blues are bluer. And the concepts for anybody who's trying to do a study or just, I want to know you more, Father, and just putting their heart out there. If there's anybody out there thinking, I need to know more, I'm hungry for more, do the Old Testament. I just get started and let it open itself up to you. And if you've got questions of where to start, you're welcome to send me an email through the radio station. It is Lynn at mygraceradio.com. Lynn is Lynne at mygraceradio.com. And I'll get with Dr. Jen, and we'll help figure out maybe some of the right places to jump start. I teach some Bible study stuff in the Old Testament. Actually, I'm getting set to start the chronological life of Jesus coming up probably October, November-ish. And that will be a couple of years study. This will be the second time I've gone through that. But Jesus talked so much about the Old Testament, especially when the Pharisees were giving him the challenge, and he would just use two or three words to say, "You've got this memorized. You know exactly the concept that I'm putting you in your place about." And he goes back and talks either about Isaiah or, but it's so rich. So I don't want to get too far off topic, but I am a foodie. And you mentioned traditional foods, and I think Thanksgiving is turkey, Easter is ham. What are traditional foods that come along with a celebration like this? Because for me, if I'm going to start to take part of a little bit of observance and just get my feet wet a little, light a candle, for Shabbat, I got that. What kind of food? It's a silly question, perhaps, but what comes with it?
Right. Well, there is a Seder,
Oh,
a
okay.
Seder meal for Rosh Hashanah. Many people have probably maybe heard the word Seder before, or order associated with Passover or Pesach.
Yes.
But Rosh Hashanah also has a Seder, and it has some beautiful traditions. One of them is we usually have fish. You prepare the fish, but the fish actually still it has its head and its tail on it, because we're to be the head and not the tail. And so there's a beautiful platter with fish and rice that is done on Sephardi. So that's one of our traditions. Also, we have a beautiful challah around a challah. Challah traditionally is a Jewish bread,
Okay.
and it's usually in a long loaf that is braided. Braided loaf, maybe
I've
you've
seen it,
seen
yes.
that associated with Judaism. At Rosh Hashanah, the loaf is round to show the continuity of the world and the crown and the kingship of God. And in the center of it, many times people will bake it and they'll put a cup of honey. That's what I do in the center of it. And we have apples because the word of God is sweet as honey is to your lips, right? And you dip your apples in the honey for a good and a sweet year, we say. So it's just
I
a
like
wonderful
that.
tradition. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Okay. So what are other traditions that, Christians can kind of tap into? And as we prepare for the next feast in the fall, which is Yom Kippur, what does that look like for Christians?
Well, I get this question a lot about, how can I acknowledge the season as a Christian, as a supporter of Israel and of Zion? And there are several simple and very meaningful ways, I think, to do that. One of them is leading up to Rosh Hashanah, you're in the month of Elul when the king is in the field, and you read the Psalm 27 every day. You'll recognize it right away when I quote it. The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Yes.
Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. From whom shall I be afraid? And so I tell them many times, just read Psalm 27. Connect your spirit, your soul to Psalm 27. Read it on Rosh Hashanah or read it on the days leading up. And I think it helps you to focus on what the Lord wants you to get out of this season for him. And then I think it's a great time to begin to think about hearing God's voice, aligning ourselves with the purposes of God's kingdom. So it's a wonderful time for prayer. Listen to the shofar. You have really fulfilled the mitzvah or the commandment of Rosh Hashanah as a Jew if you have heard the sound of the shofar. And I don't want to break any FCC rules here, but you can go onto the internet and just Google, the
Yeah.
sound of the shofar. It's a very unique sound.
It is.
Listen to that It,
It's
there's
ancient.
something, it's ancient and it awakens something ancient. I think when within us, we serve the ancient of days.
And
So
timeless.
it's timeless. And I just think it's a great opportunity for Christians to link to Avinu Mokeinu, our Father, our King, have that opportunity to have that reflected in our soul through the vibration. You know, sound carries a vibration. And the more I learn about vibrations and sound, the more I see that God designed us to be able to receive things into us through sound. He spoke creation into being. And so there's something about just the sound.
That's wonderful. What haven't we touched on in our time that's remaining? What would you want to make sure that our listeners had as a takeaway to our conversation?
I think that an important takeaway on a personal level is just to remember that God is a God of mercy. In the liturgy, there is a lot it brings you back to remembering Abraham on Mount Zion, where he brings Isaac, right? And there's the ram in the thicket, and the angel stops him from sacrificing his son with the mercy of God. That ram caught in the thicket. Within Jewish belief, they believe that that last great shofar sound will come from the ram of the horn of the one that was caught in the thicket with Isaac. And I
Really?
just think that's a beautiful picture of the mercy of God. And I try to focus on his mercy.
So as we approach now Yom Kippur, are these the 10 days of awe?
Yes, we're in the middle of the 10 days of awe. Today's day 4 of the 10 days of awe.
And so it is during this period of time that we are spending extra time with prayer and repentance and really looking inwardly to what the Lord would want to flesh out of us.
Yes, because remember, it's also Yom HaDin, okay? The day when the books are open. It talks about in Revelation where Christians would say the great white throne of judgment, right? Where we will all pass before the Lord. So these 10 days are a day to reflect on the mercy of God and for forgiveness and to be very introspective because it says in the Word of God, the books were open. In Revelation, it talks about Sefer Chaim, the book of life, but there are three books. In Jewish belief and understanding for Rosh Hashanah, for Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment.
What are they?
And it's the book of life. It is the book of the wicked, okay? And the book of the in-between. Three books.
So I think as Christians, we mostly just know about the Book of Life.
Correct.
There's a, okay, so can you just dig in a little bit with our couple minutes left?
Well, you know, this is about connecting with the ancient Jewish sages, right? And what Second Temple era beliefs were. And Yeshua would have understood these beliefs, so would Paul and all the apostles. That's why the lens that we used for studying the Word of God is so important. And I just commend you for using that lens of the Torah to look at the New Testament through the lens of the Torah, because that is the Bible that Yeshua did use. The New Testament did not exist.
Paul was not walking around with the New Testament in his knapsack.
That is correct. But Jews and Christians both believe that there will be a great day of judgment. That they call, you know, it's talked about throughout Revelation, this great day and the prophets, where everybody living or dead, having ever lived, will pass before the throne of Elohim and will be judged, right? And it will be written in the book.
I want my name in the Book of Life, not in even the in-betweens.
Amen, amen. In Jewish belief, these 10 days, you have these 10 days where you're in between, so to speak, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to repent and to get right with any friends or family or anybody where you have any problem with, because Yom Kippur is the day you're sealed. That is when the books are sealed on
For
Yom
the
Kippur.
year. For the year.
For the year on Yom Kippur.
Oh my goodness. That's like really eye-opening. So we are, oh my gosh, Dr. J, we are out of time. Would you come back? I mean, I would love to have you back and continue our conversation about some of the feasts or the richness that the Jewish faith can bring to people like us Christians who are grafted in. We forget who we are, and we are a historic very much a historic people that just were here looking for Jesus, and now we have him, and we need to kind of know that yes, we have Jesus, but we have there was a special world that God set up for Jesus to be born in. And with that special world, there's a lot of lessons in our history that we as a people of God should know. But anyway, thank you. So, do you, before we close out, do you want to try to blow that shofar? It may or may not make the cut. It's up to the engineer to see if it's going to blow out some frequencies.
Well, I want to wish everybody in Cherokee County, Lashana Tova, for a good and a sweet year. Thank you for having me. I'd be delighted to come back. I'm going to try to blow the shofar. Whether or not the engineer will be able to get it, anybody, I don't know. But I don't want to leave without saying Lashana Tova to everybody in Cherokee.
And that
So,
means what, Jen? What is that?
for I'm wishing you a good and a sweet year.
Amen.
I'm gonna try this, y'all. Lashana Tova, y'all.
Okay. That was audible. I think we were going to get that in. All
Okay.
right, my friend. Thanks so much, and we'll talk soon.